You know, most every believer is, they really have it in their heart. You know, they're saved, but they really have a desire to live the life that God intended them to live. But many people, they go to church and they're attending faithfully and, you know, everything. But yet, they might wonder, well, really, is this God's best life? The scriptures promised me this, but I don't seem to be experience it. Seems like what I'm experiencing is less than what God's word describes. And Jesus spoke to this when in John 10:10, we all know that. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. One other translation have it to the full. You know, God's best is not barely getting along or just surviving. God's best is abundant life. It's not abundant life when you're not just barely making it. I know, I've been there, done that. Don't want to go back there either. But abundance is not automatic. You know, some people think they get saved, you know, and it's just automatic, everything it's going to be. No, God's best is, you have to access it. Or you might say, it has to be unlocked. You know, just like a locked door, you have to have a key to unlock the door to get in. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, is keys to God's best. Now, this is not emotional ideas or motivational slogans, but I want to talk about biblical principles that open the doors to the life that God desires for his people to have. So, the first key that you have to have on your key ring, and see, I got a key ring here, and there's the key to my car, and there's the key to house, and there's the key to my desk up in my office. There's a key for this ministry. It's supposed to unlock any door unless they've changed the locks. It's supposed to unlock any door on this campus. And if I go and find one that they've changed it, I make them put it back the way it's supposed to be. They said, well, people was getting in there it wasn't supposed to be. I said, well, somebody's got a key they shouldn't have. Now, in the children's department, they call this the Jesus key. But it will unlock anybody's door. Now, Tad and Greg and them, they have the church offices over there. Now, they have a key to their office, but nobody else does. But I do. I can go in their office anytime I want to. You know, it don't make any difference what it is. I got the key. And it unlocks the doors that I won't open. And tonight I'm talking about keys that you need on your key ring to have God's best. Some of these keys you might not like, but the first key is total surrender to God. Total surrender to God. Of course, we go to Paul's writings in Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, notice something there. God mentions dimensions. Good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, salvation brings you into God's family, but surrender brings you actually say it this way. Surrender determines how deeply you will walk in God's goodness. You know, many believers live in God's goodness, but never step into his perfectness will, because their surrender is incomplete. You know, partial surrender will give you partial results. You know, some people will say, well, I see so-and-so and they're receiving more blessings than I am. Well, maybe they have, maybe you haven't surrendered everything. Now, surrender is not weakness. It's alignment. When you surrender your life to God, you're not losing control. You're placing your life under his leadership. You know, too many people just partially surrender. They keep certain things that they want. Every area that you withhold from God becomes an area where his best cannot fully flow. God's best begins when you stop negotiating and start yielding. Come on now. This is some good stuff, even if I did say it. You know, we need not only just to say, you're my Savior, but we've got to say, you're my Lord. Now, a Lord issues decrees, and they're obeyed by the subjects underneath him. Is that correct? See, he needs to be our Savior, but he needs to be our Lord too. We need to fully surrender everything. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm surrendering to the Lord. Yeah, but there's certain things that I can't do that. I'm not talking about stuff that's bad. That's just some things. Sometimes you have to let some things go I say it sometimes, Paul said it, all things may be lawful, but they're not good for you. I'm paraphrasing Paul saying there. But it's because complete surrender. You know, actually, a lot of times people don't realize this because it used to be taught a lot. It's not taught as much now. Actually, when you're raising your hands in worship, you're saying, I surrender to you, Lord. Putting the hands up means you surrender, right? But I guess we could talk about that for a while, but I can see that it's not as good a subject as some of these others will be. But that's a key that you better have if you want to live in God's abundance, is full surrender to him. Sometimes people don't want to surrender because they don't want to go where he told them to go. You know, I came to work for my dad, but I knew it was God, but I really didn't want to do it. But I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't. I really didn't enjoy being associate pastor for my father-in-law either, but I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't had those 6 years underneath him. I knew it was God, so I stayed there. It wasn't fun, but I stayed there in full surrender. Now, the second key is another key, and it's called obedience to God's word. Now, Moses declared this principle really clearly in Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, Moses is talking to the children of Israel, but that's for us too. Diligently. What does diligently mean to you? To me, diligently means putting everything I have into it. Then that would be putting everything I have into obey, in my own strength to obey the voice of God. And this is the voice of God right here. Diligently obey the voice of the Lord. And then observe carefully all the commandments, all of what he says to do. Sometimes that's not as easy as, it's harder to do than it is to say, because you have to crucify the flesh. Now, God asks for obedience, not control. He asks for obedience so he can bless us. Have you ever noticed that many of the promises that you read in the Word of God, it's if you do this, then I will do this? Anybody ever notice that in there? That's where this key of obedience comes in right there. Some people are praying for something, and they're not going to get it because they haven't used the key of obedience. Now I'm going to step on some toes, but that's all right. There are many people praying for God to bless them and help them in the financial realm, but they don't give tithes, they don't give offerings. And one of the things is to obey in what he says to do. Now, I'm not going to get a lot of amens on that, because a lot in this day and age, there's some teaching about, well, you know, that's old covenant stuff and so forth and so on. But let me tell you what. Aaron and Melchizedek was the type of God, and Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek before there ever was any covenant, Abrahamic covenants or any other covenants. Okay, let me go on, because that's not going over very good. Obedience actually is faith in action. Trusting God's word when your feelings and your natural person wants to go the other direction. Many people want the blessings that are listed in here, but they overlook the condition that's attached to it, obedience. Say it, obedience. Obedience. I know that hurts some of you to say that. Now, you ever notice that sometimes people are asking God to bless their decisions? But God's best is not found in doing what we decide and asking for his blessings. It's found doing in what God said to do. Then you find a blessing. You know, someone says, man, the Bible just weights me down. It's not a burden. It's a guide. Hello. Every instruction in here, God, that he gives, carries protection, wisdom, life, abundance. But it's all of it depends upon you using that key. Now, there's another key I want to talk about. The key to God's best is faith that acts. And of course, we're all on to this, man. We're big time on this. This is our wheelhouse, as you say. Faith, that's our wheelhouse. We got it on top of our church. Well, wait a minute. Let's go over and see what Pastor James has to say about it. Now, you do realize that James was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. You do realize that, don't you? If you don't, I just told you. James 2:17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, I like to go and read the other translation sometimes because it speaks a little more like to us. James 2:17 in the NIV says, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, my dad said that there was one translation that he had way back. It said, faith without corresponding actions is dead. And he had a sermon called Corresponding Actions. And I was going to Canterbury Bible Academy my junior year in high school. And it was underneath the Assemblies of God. So that's Pentecostal. And Dad Schaefer was the star. He started the school, but he was still there. His son was over the school, but he still taught a Bible class. And we all had to, every student had to take that class, that Bible class. And he taught to each group. Like, I was a junior, so everybody in there was juniors, and he would teach the seniors and freshmen. And so he assigned us to write an essay on some scripture in the Bible, preferably the New Testament. Well, I said, man, I'm going to write Corresponding Actions. That's what I'm going to call it, because I got it from, it was actually my dad's message. And I wrote on about corresponding actions, and I talked about, you know, people, a lot of people have faith and talk about faith, but they never have any action that corresponds with that faith. And I got a AA+. He said it was one of the best papers he had ever had. Well, thanks to my dad. Because all I did was take his message, you know, and then write an essay off of his message. See, faith is not passive agreement with truth. It's active trust in God. You can believe something and still never experience it. Okay? Faith that never acts never receives. Hello now. We talk about this and a lot, but actually, throughout the scriptures, God responds to faith that steps forward. Do you realize the Red Sea, even though God told him what was going to happen, nothing happened until Moses lifted his rod and stuck it out over the sea. Do you realize that Joshua told them they're going to march around the city walls and fall down? But do you realize nothing happened until they marched? Anybody see action there? They believed what God said, but they had to put some action in. Peter didn't walk on the water until he got out of the boat. Did you know the other disciples could have walked on the water too, but they wouldn't. Peter said, if it's you, let me come to you. And Jesus said, come on. And do you know the rest of them? If they would have stepped out of the boat, they could have walked too, but they didn't put any action. You see, God, many times, the power is not released until our obedience activates it. Hello? Anybody getting anything out of this? Faith is the act that opens the door. That prayer won't do it. There are many times we're praying over something that people need to just put their faith into action. I better go on. Now, let's get a fourth key here. To get God's best, you have to have a key called a renewed mind. Now let's go back to Romans 12:2, where Paul's writing, and do not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation does not begin with changed circumstances. It begins with changed thinking. Now, how many of you got kids or grandkids? I got a great-grandson, Hayes Hagen, Cameron's boy. He's 4, and he's into the what they call transformers. Any of your parents or grandparents know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Well, Nana and Poppy, we got him a couple of them for his Christmas. Another part of it was a bicycle, but it's one way. But you can transform it by moving it around, and it becomes something completely different. You see, that's what happens with us. We have to have the key to the renewed mind, because we're born again. But this part is not. And we have, and the Bible says it, we have to transform it by reading the word. That's how you renew the mind. Actually, if you'll think about it, even after you were saved, your mind, it would keep wanting to do things that it shouldn't do because it wasn't renewed. You got into the Word and got to reading the Word and you saw what it said. As the more your mind become renewed, the more that you changed. Am I right or wrong? Some of you will remember this because you're old enough and were in the charismatic circles back when. We used to sing a song, something on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Any of you know what I'm talking about? Well, that's talking about transformation, right? Many believers are praying for a new life and still holding on to the old thought patterns. But God's best can't flow through a mind that is still being controlled by fear and doubt and past failures. Did you realize your thoughts shape your expectations, and your expectations, it influences your decisions? Stop and think about it, and it's the truth. Now, if your mind is constantly rehearsing yesterday, then you're going to have a struggle believing God for today. Hello? We renew our mind through God's Word so that what? We can begin to see ourselves as God sees us. In Christ Jesus, victors, living a victorious life, living that abundant life that He promised us, In John 10:10, that was Jesus talking when John 10:10, that's Jesus talking. Now, if you think the same way, you will harvest the same crop. A renewed life begins with renewed thinking. His best comes and flows to us through a mind that is anchored in the truth of God's word and not controlled by last year or yesterday's happenings. Hello. You know, now I got to hurry. The fifth key that you got to have on that key ring is faithfulness in small things. Luke 6:10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Now again, I want to go over here to NLT and read it. If you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibility. Everybody's always wanting to do something big for God, but they're neglecting what God's already put in their hand, and they're neglecting where they're at. You know, God promotes faithfulness, not your desires. I'm going to say this, a lot of people don't like it, but God tests or looks for faithful people in small things, then he knows he can entrust them with big things. Come on now. See, I told you that y'all not going to like some of this because it goes cross-grain to something. But this is true. Promotion flows. Actually, let me put it this way. Promotion follows preparation. And increase follows integrity. In the world we live in today, the things that is so missing in many of the young people is loyalty and integrity. It's because they haven't been taught it, like some of us that are older sitting in this congregation. Everybody talks about King David, the giant killer. But wait a minute. Before he was ever a king, he was faithful in taking care of the sheep out in the pasture by himself. In fact, when Jesse went down there to anoint, or when Samuel went down to Jesse's house to anoint a king, Jesse put all of his sons through there, and God said, nope, 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 nope. And Samuel said, you got anybody else? Yeah, we got this kid out here. He's out there in the pasture somewhere taking care of the sheep. Samuel said, get him, bring him in here. And when he came in, now here's a kid. Now all of these grown men had went before him with good stature, bulked up, you know. And God said, no. Now here come this kid in that's out there taking care of the sheep. And God says, that's him right there. And so Samuel anointed him king. Hello. You see, what you do when no one is watching reveals what God can trust you with publicly. Come on now, that's a tough statement, but that's a true statement. Faithfulness in prayer, faithfulness in giving, faithfulness in serving, faithfulness in daily obedience to God's word prepares you for God's best. Sixth key. I got to hurry. I got this one and one more. Sixth key that you got to have on that key ring is walking in love and forgiveness. Uh-oh. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 6:14 and 15. For, For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now again, I like to go to another translation. The NIV here says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Unforgiveness has the power to unlock doors that God wants open. You can't walk freely in God's best while carrying bitterness from the past. Now let me say this. Forgiveness does not excuse what happened. Now get a hold of this. It releases you from what happened. I'm going to say that again. I want you to get that. Forgiveness does not excuse what has happened, but it releases you from what happened. You're released from it. Holding offense, unforgiveness, you might call it, is like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to suffer. Do you realize many times you are carrying that unforgiveness because of what somebody's did, and you're carrying it against them? It's not hurting them at all. They're going on. It's hindering you. When you forgive, you're not saying the pain didn't matter. You're saying your future life matters more. God's best flows through a heart that is healed and free. Now, last key I want to talk about. The seventh key for God's best is perseverance and patience. Ooh, two words that we don't like. But let's read what Paul said in Galatians, okay? Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Once again, let me go to one of the other NLT on this one. So let's not get tired of doing what is good, and just at just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. God's best sometimes unfolds over time. Remember this, delay is not denial. Waiting seasons are not wasted seasons. Sometimes, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again, sometimes when you believe in God for something, God has to work some other things out before he can get this to you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, any of you know anything about growing? I know very little, but I do know this, that a seed starts growing underground before it ever pushes through the soil and you could see it. It's working and you don't see it. Just because you don't see some immediate results doesn't mean that God isn't working. Many people quit just before the harvest. But God's best comes to those who stay planted, stay faithful, and refuse to give up. He said there, in that scriptures, we read it. He said there, Paul was writing this, that due seasons belongs to those who endure. I want you to notice it says here, at just the right time. And then the King James says, due season. NLT said, just the right time you reap a harvest of blessing. You know, we gotta stay ready to receive. We got to be faithful. Maybe I should say it that way. Now, let's say it this way too. Due season belongs to those that endure. As we close this out, remember, God's best is not reserved for the select few. It's available to every believer who is willing to use the keys to unlock the door of abundance. And I want to say this. Surrender opens the door. Obedience keeps it open. Faith steps through it. Renewed thinking sustains it. Faithfulness grows it. Forgiveness protects it. And perseverance completes it. That got everything that I talked about right there in one sentence. Now look what Joshua said in Joshua 24:15. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. God's best comes by choice. You choose to daily use the keys that unlocks the door. You know, you might want to pray a prayer something like this. Father, thank you. I desire the best for my life. Help me to surrender fully and obey willingly and believe boldly and walk faithful and have strength to endure. Thank you that as I walk in that, every door will be unlocked and your abundant blessings will become mine. That might be a prayer that you might want to pray, but you might want to put it in different words than that. That's just some words I've put together there. Everybody stand, please. How many of you got a hold of what I was trying to talk about tonight? We can be living in some abundance, but not completely in abundance, because we've unlocked all of the doors but one. Well, you better unlock that door too. And you know the door that's closed that most people are having hindering people is the one of unforgiveness. I've talked to many people in my few years of ministry, 67 of them being something, I think it is, something like that. And I've talked to these same people several times. That's some years gone by. Every time I would see them, they're still talking about something that somebody did to them 10 years ago. Well, they may be walking in the other, some of the abundance of God, but they're not walking in the full abundance of God. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you tonight, is you can walk in part of the abundance of God, but until you completely surrender everything and walk the way you're supposed to, you're not going to enjoy the abundance of his blessings. You may be enjoying some of the blessing. But I don't know about you. I never did like settling for second best. I want first. I want better. I don't like second place. People that know me know that's big with me. I live my life that way. When I play ball or preach or anything I do it with everything I got. And I'm going to do everything I can in my ability to use every key and unlock every door so that I can live that abundant life. I don't know about you. You have to make that decision on your own. Father, help each person in this place to make the decision to walk in all of the abundance that you promised, not just partial abundance, but all of it. Help each one to take inventory of their own lives today and make adjustments if adjustments need to be made. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen. Well, if you happen to be with us tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, we want you to find him. If you know what it is to serve him, but you have just sort of messed up and got on a detour and you need to come and rededicate your life to God, the ladies are over here, the men are over here. If you'll come down here, they'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for anything, you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit, you want somebody to pray for you for healing, you need prayer for any reason, you want somebody to pray with you, you come down here, these are our prayer partners, they'll pray with you. Amen. Connection team, go find those first-time guests and take them to the out there to the North Lobby to get the gift. We really appreciate you being here with us today. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say again, church? Welcome home. Come on, make this your home with us. Enjoy this Rhema family we call ourselves. Hey, remember Sunday morning right here. Come believing, come expecting, and hey, don't forget your key ring with all the keys for the abundance, okay? Turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to live the abundant life. We'll see you Sunday. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front now.